Loke asmin.
In this world.
Pungsam.
Of men.
Nishreyasa.
Final perfection of life.
Udayaha.
The attainment of.
Tivrena.
Intense.
Bhakti yogena.
By practice of devotional service.
Manaha.
Mind.
Mayi.
In me.
Arpitam.
Fixed.
Stiram.
Steady.
Therefore, persons whose minds are fixed on the Lord engage in the intensive practice of devotional service. That is the only means for attainment of the final perfection of life. Purport. Hear the words mano mayarpitam, which mean the mind being fixed on me, are significant. One should fix his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna or his incarnation. To be fixed steadily in that freedom is the way of liberation. Ambarish Maharaj is an example. He fixed his mind on the lotus feet of the Lord. He spoke only on the pastimes of the Lord. He smelled only the flowers and tulsi offered to the Lord. He walked only to the temple of the Lord. He engaged his hands in cleansing the temple. He engaged his tongue in tasting the foodstuff offered to the Lord. And he engaged his ears for hearing the great pastimes of the Lord. In that way, all his senses were engaged. First of all, the mind should be engaged at the lotus feet of the Lord, very steadily and naturally. Because the mind is the master of the senses, when the mind is engaged, all the senses become engaged. That is bhakti yoga. Yoga means controlling the senses. Senses cannot be controlled in the proper sense of the term. They are always agitated. This is true also with a child. How long can he be forced to sit down silently? It is not possible. Even Arjuna said, Chanchalam hi mana Krishna. The mind is always agitated. The best course is to fix the mind on the lotus feet of the Lord. Mano mayarpitam stiram. If one seriously engages in Krishna consciousness, that is the highest perfectional stage. All Krishna conscious activities are on the highest perfectional level of human life. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the third canto, 25th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Glories of Devotional Service. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurn Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanamanabhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kodamahyam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Sri Gura Sri Jatapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrashatam Shahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Shadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha Hey Krishna, Karana Sindha, Dina Bandha Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostate, Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Prishabhanu Sute Devi,
pranamami hori priye.
Pancha ko patarubhyascha kripa sindho bhyayeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Etavan eva lokesmin, pumsam nishreyasodayaha, tivrena bhakti yogena, mano mayarpitam sthiram. If you want to do a quick study when you meet someone, ask him, what's your idea about the highest goal of life? What's your idea about the highest goal of life? In the Bhagavad Gita, kamopa bhoga parama etavad iti nishchita. Same word, etavad. Highest, up to this point. What point do we come to? What's the conclusion? What's the bottom line? Bottom line for the demons is kamopa bhoga parama. The highest thing, parama, is satisfaction of lusty desires and sense gratification. Kama upabhoga parama. Etavaniti nishchita. Nishchita means this is conclusively ascertained by the materialists. Their life is meant for sense gratification. And they say it in different ways. You get things like, well, it's to be the most you can be. To get the most out of life. To attain self-fulfillment. To realize your full potential. You know, it comes out in so many different ways. But what is it, really? Etavad iti nishchita. Kamo pabhoga padama. Enjoy your senses this way or that way, according to what your particular conception is. Okay. Maybe out of thousands of people, one will say, life is meant for spiritual realization. Out of thousands, manusyanam sahasrasyam. And out of them, how many will say that life is meant for devotional service to God? Even those who believe in God, even those who are pious, they may say something like, to lead a godly life, to obey the Ten Commandments or something. But how many will say that the goal of life is simply to serve? Yatatamapi siddhanam kashchin mam vetita. Hardly anyone. Very few. But this is Bhagavad Dharma. Bhagavad Dharma is that the highest goal, nishreyasodaya, the attainment of the highest goal, is devotional service to Krishna. Nishreyas means the final benefit, final attainment, is devotional service. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nadhanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam Vajagadishakame, Mama Janmani Janmani Shre Bhavatad Bhakti Rohituki Tvai. Not money, not followers, Nadhanam Najanam, not a nice wife. Not even liberation. Bhavatad bhakti rohita kitvai. Pure devotional service. Tivrena bhakti yogena. Tivrena means intense. What the materialist calls fanatical. Fanatical just means that you're serious about it. Anyone who wants to attain success in something is, generally speaking, fanatical. He becomes fanatical about chess or about swimming or about making money or about freeing the blacks or the whatever it is. Unless you're focused, unless you're dedicated, unless you're intense, what will you get? Who goes to the top colleges? Those who are intense about their studies. Those who study, they go someplace else. Those who are intense about their studies, they attain high honors. So tivrena means intense, like the rays of the sun. If the sun's rays were half-hearted, they wouldn't do very much for us. Intense. Tivrena bhakti yogena. Strong devotional service. Intense devotional service. Tivrena bhakti yogena. Yajeta purusham padam. Mano mayarpitam sthiram. The center of all yoga practice is the mind. Whether it's bhakti yoga, hatha yoga, jnana yoga, any yoga. Yoga indriya samyama. Yoga means to control the mind. And as Srila Prabhupada points out, simple control of the mind is practically not feasible. In the sense of just grabbing hold of the mind and keeping it someplace, it's very difficult. Stopping the mind. Chanchalam hi mana krishna pramati balabhadridham. Then tasyaham nigraham manye vayuriva shadushkuram. Krishna told Arjuna about the yoga system for controlling the mind. Arjuna said it's too difficult. Chanchala, the mind is fickle, always moving. Chanchala hi mana krishna pramati, crazy. The big secret of the mind. It's nuts. Prabhupada told a story that there was some murder case and the defendant pleaded insanity. Not guilty for reasons of insanity. So the court brought in their psychiatrist. Psychiatrist examined the defendant. He reported back to the judge, "Your Honor, I've examined many people, and in my professional opinion, practically everyone is crazy." So if you want to excuse him, that's up to you, but everyone's mad. Pramati. The mind is mad. Pramati, and mad and balavad, strong. Dridham, determined. You get these madmen, and they're, you know, it takes ten attendants to jump on them and hold them down and strap them in. Bad enough to be mad, but mad and strong at the same time is a dangerous combination. And this is the mind. Crazy and strong also. Tasyaham nigraham manye vayuriva shudushkuram. So Arjuna said that controlling this mad and powerful mind is like trying to say stop to the wind. It's not possible. So that's admitted in Bhagavad Gita. Then Krishna says, no, it's possible to control the mind. Abhyasena tukantaya, vairagena jagriyate, by detachment and by suitable practice. Suitable practice. What is that suitable practice? That suitable practice is to fix the mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. Sabai mana Krishna padaravindiyo. The example is Maharaj Ambarish. He fixed his mind at the lotus feet of Krishna, Vachamsi, Vaikuntha Gunanivarnam. And he engaged his tongue in speaking about Krishna. He engaged his hands in cleaning the temple, his feet in going to the temple, his ears in hearing about Krishna, his eyes in seeing the deity, nose in smelling the flowers, his body touching the devotees. All of his senses were engaged. It's not that he tried to stop the senses. You know, Buddhism, you know, sit there and meditate on nothing until you fall asleep and some big fat guy with a stick comes and swats you. That's not recommended in Bhagavad Gita. And how practical is it? And even if you'll go to some retreat, you'll practice for a weekend or something, and then you get back to work. The mind gets back to work. Oh, fixing the mind on the lotus feet of Krishna is practical. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given the method for fixing the mind. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The practical method in this age is chanting. Silent meditation, just trying to fix the mind, is very difficult. But meditation by sound is very easy. The mind keeps going this way, that way. One only has to bring it back to the transcendental vibration. Yato yato nischalati manas chanchalam astiram tatas tato niyam nyaitat atmanyeva visham. This is control of the mind, to bring the mind back and back and back and back to the transcendental sound vibration. Abhinnata nama namino. Because there's no difference between Krishna the sound and Krishna the personality of Godhead. So chanting means thinking. If we're chanting Hare Krishna, then that's not different from thinking of Krishna. Chanting and hearing with concentration, with attention. Therefore, this point is there in the chanting to not be inattentive, to be attentive while chanting. That the mind is fixed, not that the mind is going this way, that way. Abhyasena. This is abhyas. Abhyas means practice. Abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa ananya gamina. Paramam purusham divyam yati partana chintayan. Krishna says that by engaging in devotional service, by practice of Krishna consciousness, the result will be chetasa ananya gamina. The mind will not go on its vacations and journeys and adventures into Maya. Chetasa na anya. Anya means some other place. Chetasa na anya gamina. It will not wander here and there to Maya. Chetasa na anya gamina. It won't. My mind is always wandering to Maya. But if we chant seriously and sincerely, then by this practice, the mind will start becoming under control. Na anyagamina, don't go anywhere else. Chant Hare Krishna, think of Krishna. Speak about Krishna, serve Krishna. See Krishna, hear Krishna. This is the business. Srila Prabhupada says that one should mold one's life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours of the day, one cannot help but think of Krishna. This is the business of life. It doesn't matter, I may be a householder, brahmachari, sannyasi, vanaprastha, but I have to mold my life in such a way that throughout my 24 hours, I can't help but think of Krishna. The example was set in, of course, Maharaj Ambarish was a householder, but the example was set by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Manasa deha geha yokichu mor arpilu tvapade nandakishwar. My dear Nandakishore, Krishna, whatever I have, supposedly have as mine, I offer to you. Arpita means it's offered. What is that? Manasa, my mind. And Deha, this body. And Geha, my household. Yokichumor, whatever I might have. Manasa Deha Geha Yokichumor, Arpila tu Apadena. Now I offer that to you. This is surrender. Otherwise, what is household or life? For the materialist, household or life means sense gratification. Why do we get married? We get married to gratify our senses. And then when the senses are not gratified, then we split and recombine and try again. Puna punas charvata charvanana. And the business is sense gratification, which is not actually obtainable. The senses are never satisfied. Dushpurain analenacha. Krishna says you just get burned, but you never get satisfied. Well, that's the materialistic idea of householder life, that it's a kind of a deal for sense enjoyment. But the devotee thinks that this is an arrangement for serving Krishna. The business is how all the members of the house, home, should be engaged in Krishna's service. Husband, wife, children, everyone. By hearing, by chanting, by practical activities for Krishna's service, by worshiping the deity. How to mold life in such a way that we're always busy in Krishna's service, not our service. For one who's engaged in the service of Krishna, his own needs will automatically be met. If you pour water on the root of the tree, then the leaves, flowers, branches, everything is watered. And if we try to water the leaves, branches, and flowers without watering the root, it will fail. Everyone is busy working for his own sense gratification. And everyone is being frustrated. But when we take the opposite tactic, that let me satisfy Krishna, then I'll also be satisfied. This is the practical method. So in householder life or in brahmachari, sannyasi life, anyone can waste his time and allow himself to drift into sense gratification. Or anyone can get serious. Tivrena, anyone can get intense about devotional service. Any ashram. Brahmachari, grihastha, what is that? Tapumbir dujashreshta varnashrama vibhagasha shanushtitasya dharmasya sangsiddhir haritoshana. The perfection of one's life or one's prescribed duties as Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra or Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi is to satisfy Krishna. Sangsiddhi, this is complete perfection. Sangsati haritoshana. And what is the benefit of serving Krishna? Abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanya gamina paramam purusham divyam yati parthanu chintayam. By fixing the mind on this supreme transcendental person, Krishna, one goes to Krishna. One goes to Krishna. And what does one do when one goes to Krishna? One serves Krishna. Even those who think that the perfection of life is to be a good person and serve God and go to heaven, generally they have the idea that when you go to heaven, then that's the payoff. And you go to heaven and enjoy And what enjoyment is differs from culture to culture or person to person. They have some idea what enjoyment is. But from Bhagavatam, the real perfection is not that I work hard now, I undergo some austerity now, and then I go to the kingdom of God and enjoy. But the real enjoyment is to serve Krishna. There's no higher engagement, no higher enjoyment. The Goswamis have detailed the ecstasies of devotional service. There's nothing comparable in the realm of sense enjoyment. Yati Parthana Chintayan, the devotee who's been intensely engaged in the service of Krishna at the time of death, upon leaving this body, he goes to Krishna. Yati Parthana. Parthana Chintayan. Anuchintayan means because he's always thinking of Krishna. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajachante kalevaram. Tam tam niyamastaya prakritya niyatasvayam. Whatever you're always thinking of, that determines your next destination. So the devotees who are always thinking of Krishna, anuchintayan. Anu means always, and anu means following. By following in the footsteps of the bona fide spiritual master, by following the acharyas, thinking of Krishna while following the authorized process. Anuchintayan, yati, they go. So this is our business, to serve Krishna in this life and in the next life. Either we go to Krishna or stay here and serve Krishna. Mama janmani janmani shure bhavapattad bhaktir hoitaki tvai. If one can simply be engaged in the service of Krishna, one's life becomes successful. Sthiram, steadily. Sthira. Sthira buddhira sammuddha. Without being bewildered. Steady intelligence. Always engaged in the service of Krishna. All right. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Comments?
It appears that a lot of people would agree with what you're saying. And I think that a lot of people, if they heard what you had to say today, I would agree with what you're what you're trying to say. It seems though that a lot of people, they want to just be spiritual. They don't necessarily want to follow a religion, because religion, you know, denotes certain kinds of persons, people, establishment, rules.
I agree with that. I'm like that too.
But then we say that there has to be those things there in order for one to, you know, really develop, you know, to understand God and our relationship with Him.
Well, finally, it's personal. It's not that one attains deliverance by virtue of being in an institution. One joins the institution and becomes perfect. There may be so many people in the institution who are not serious, or who don't follow, who are hypocrites, who profess one thing and do another thing, or who are simply preoccupied with some ritualistic formulas, niyamagraha. They're just kind of, what's the word? Going through the paces, you know, they're just doing the rituals, but they're not tivrena. They don't have that intensity of dedication for spiritual advancement. So to have that desire for spiritual advancement is good. Then the next thing is, there must be some process. I want to be spiritual. Well, that's good. What am I going to do? There must be some process. Either I, you know, throw out all the stuff that's made with fur and meat, and I put candles in my room, or I, you know, do something. You know, there's some process. People are going to do something. Or they're, you know, I sit and meditate, and or I go hiking and you know, and go out in the wilderness and just commune with some. There's got to be some sort of process. I got to do something. As my English teacher said, how do you think you're going to learn this? By the process of osmosis? It's not like spirituality is just going to seep in on us. We have to get serious about it and then do something. So, some process. So, in the generally, it's vague what that process is. You know, you attend some meeting in a stadium, and then you get up and you give your life to Jesus, you sign a paper or something, and then 3 days later, you take your life back from Jesus. That means there wasn't a, of course, there could be many explanations, but I didn't follow a step-by-step effective process for becoming steady, sthira, in my dedication to Jesus or whatever my path might be. So there must be some process. So here in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, we get a very practical process. A good understanding of what is what. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is given especially this chanting as the best practice for Kali Yuga. And chanting means you don't have to join an institution. You don't have to join a religion. You don't have to do so many things. Chant. We're not going to, you know, send a priest to check up on you. Chant Hare Krishna. Then, while chanting Hare Krishna, there are some things that will help you. And there are some things that will hold you back. So, if you're serious, then whatever will help you, why not do it? And whatever is going to hold you back, why not ditch it? In anything, whatever your process is, if you want to become an Olympic star, then you know, you have to do the things that are going to help you and ditch the things that are getting in your way. Athletes who give up alcohol, for example, why? They like alcohol as much as the next guy, but it's going to hurt my performance. So they ditch it. And they do all this practice, swimming laps and whatever they do, because it's going to help.
So, but what you're really saying then is if a person chants Hare Krishna and they go through this purification process, then eventually they'll understand that really the highest thing to do is to be part of a organized or...
No, that's not the highest. The highest thing is not to be a member of an organization. Now, being a member of an organization is one of the things that will help me.
Yes.
Or association. The real thing is association.
Okay, association. That's okay, I agree.
Every sadhu sangha, sarva shastra koi. Anything is association. You want to do business, you want to do science, you want to do spirituality, whatever you want to do, association is important. If you want to do spirituality and you're associating with all devil worshippers, you know, it's going to be a little tough. Association is crucial.
But if you develop that so-called enthusiasm, you know, tivrena, you know, that drive, it appears that that drive will create, you'll also create a certain kind of atmosphere, or maybe even for that matter, a circle. Let's say by that drive you become a leader.
That's fine.
Okay, so then all of a sudden you're going to be in a situation where a lot of people are going to be attracted to you.
Good.
And you're going to start teaching them, and you're going to start telling them.
Good.
You know, surrender. Sarva Dharma Pritya. Krishna says, you know,
it's good.
The highest thing is devotional service.
That's
and the
nice.
Next thing, you know, you may even create yourself a particular. Okay, I won't call it a.
Well, that's good. We encourage you to do that. Jai Dako Tarhe Kaho Krishna Bhadesh. Wherever you are, be a leader. If you've picked this up, Krishna consciousness, and you see that it's good and it works, then take up the practice and be a leader. If you have the qualities of a leader, be a leader. Teach the people around you. Have classes. Bring people together. Have kirtan. Do this. Not that you have to, you know, find the biggest temple in North America and join it. do it there, wherever you are, you know, Kansas or Idaho or whatever it is. You don't have to be in a big, you know, city and a big temple. Just do it. Now we need some training from people who are more expert. Anything, if you want to teach, I don't care what it is, sales or anything. Then first you attend seminars, you attend courses, you learn the thing, and then when you've learned it from the experts, then you teach it again. And if you're really serious about it, you go back and get refresher courses. You get to take the advanced course. You do seminars and so on, and then you come back and you know, with honed skills, you teach some more. So it doesn't have to be a big megalopolis with all these people with hierarchical positions doing all sorts of manipulations on big groups of people. It doesn't have to be that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prithiviti Yache Atanagarati Gram. Every village, every town. We went on Padayatra one time, and we went on Padayatra for a year and a half, but every day we would go to a different town, and we had an advance party that would go ahead and set things up for us a little bit, get some host for us, place to stay, someone to arrange prasadam, little help setting up a program. And some of the villages, they'd be, you know, we'd somehow or other get it together, and some of the villages were very enthusiastic. One village we went to, I forget whether it was Orissa or someplace. We went to this one village and they came out with a kirtan party to meet us. And they had a big banner, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and the name of the village. In just the few days since they'd met our advanced man, they'd gotten so enthusiastic about Krishna consciousness that they'd started their own branch right there. And then they had a, you know, like huge welcome for us, and we had wonderful programs, and you know, that's the idea.
Yeah, I guess I didn't really mean a mega center, but I really meant that someone has to, like you might say, accept the principles of Krishna consciousness. In other words, I think I was meaning that more than just
having principles are required. Anything you want to do, there's some principles, and if you follow the principles, you'll be successful. It's not that it's, you know, free form. You just kind of do anything, and you'll get the result. Sometimes, probably somebody would say, "Well, what about?" What about Buddhism, or what about Islam, or what about this, or what about following Jesus Christ, or this or that? The Prabhupada said, do it. Do something. You know, but they just talk. Well, what about Buddha? What about Christ? What about Mohammed? What about Zoroaster? What about, you know, but then what do? Well, I don't do anything. Do something. Follow Jesus, follow Muhammad, follow Zoroaster, follow Buddha, but you're not doing anything. Therefore, Prabhupada said there must be some process. So either follow one of those processes, or if you find that there's some value here, then take up this process. Or even if you're following some other process, see if you get some benefit from this process. And take it up and follow it. There must be some rules, regulations, you know, how to do it. If you want to get from here to Los Angeles, there's a way to do it, and there's a way to go the opposite direction. It's not that anything will take me to downtown L.A. from Venice Boulevard. There must be some process, some direction, some guidance. We had to get from here to Hrinanand Maharaj's house yesterday, and nobody knew how to go. Then the directions weren't very clear. It took us three quarters of an hour to go from here to 10 minutes away to Hrinanand Maharaj's house. Because there was no direction. There was no proper guidance how to go. But if you have proper guidance, proper directions, then it's 7 minutes, you're there. So that's just that's the most mundane thing in the world, driving 10 minutes in Los Angeles. So if for that you need some guidance, you need some direction, and you're going to go back to Godhead, or you're going to attain the highest perfection or liberation, or you're going to reach the Supreme just by the process of osmosis, there's got to be some method. Some do's, some don'ts, some helpful things, some other things. So we're not, you know, for this religion or that religion, or we don't need more of that. But the religion is Sanatana Dharma. This religion is already there in the heart of every living being. Krishna's Nityasiddha Krishna Prema Sadhyakabunai. Love of Krishna is the real religion of every living being. And that's already in everyone's heart. And Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Kodi. We only have to cleanse the heart and that will come out. We don't have to stick this on you. Now you become a member of this religion. Now you obey this religion. You profess this religion. We don't have to do that. You just cleanse the heart and the religion is already there. And it's the same religion for everyone. Everyone, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Arsabhitya. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's one Supreme Lord and everyone is the servant of God. That religion is already there. It doesn't have to be stamped from outside like the way you stamp, you know, motor parts or something. Someone once said this is the religion that no one has to join. And no one can join. Because everyone's already a member. Everyone's already a servant of Krishna. But now I'm serving indirectly. I'm serving my senses. I'm serving my government. I'm serving my family. I'm serving that means I'm serving Krishna, but I'm serving indirectly. And Shravanadi Shudhichitte, if I purify my heart, then I can awaken this consciousness of serving directly. Directly means through the process, not that independently by my inventing something, that will be maybe one person, you know, somehow or other is against all odds, he's fantastically successful in spiritual life by achintya kripa, inconceivable mercy of God. But that's like the person who gets an honorary degree from Oxford University. Rabindranath Tagore won the Nobel Prize, so without going to college, he got an honorary degree from Oxford. That doesn't mean I should also think, well, I'll get an honorary degree from Oxford. If I want a degree, then I have to go to enroll in the school, pay the tuition, sit for the courses, take the tests, then I'll get my degree. Otherwise, I can say, well, I'll take the genius process. I'll just, you know, win the Nobel Prize and get my degree that way. But that's not recommended. Mm-hmm. The microphone is going to come to you.
Part of the reason that I came to Krishna consciousness was that my attachment to the human form of life is very, very little. My attachment to the human form of life. I accept that we're all human beings. We have this opportunity to transcend the human form of life.
Hmm.
So that's why I was attracted to Krishna consciousness, because there is hope of something subtle or spiritual, which is beyond the gross platform.
Hmm.
So to me, one of the things that has kind of plagued me was the fact that the more that you become attached to the subtle forms of life, the more you realize the gross forms, and then you fall into this kind of pit of attachment and detachment, you know, because it's like for a person who's very holy and clean, other people who don't have those qualities are attracted to that. But what got you to the platform of holiness was the fact that you separated yourself. So now you're influencing, the forces of nature pretty much on the human level of consciousness. So I was wondering if there's anything in Shastra that talks about a more metaphysical form of life. Is like, you know, we live in the city of Los Angeles where everyone, in the back of their minds, they're thinking of the angels, you know, the angels and the saints. Is there anything mentioned in Shastra that talks about, the angelic forms of life?
About the?
Angelic forms of life, like the angels or anything.
Yeah, this is the angelic form of life, Krishna consciousness. The angels are those who are devotees. Vishnu Bhakta Smita Daiva. They're angelic or godly. So there's a kind of an idea that metaphysical life means out in the woods, you know, with nobody around. And that may also be metaphysical. It's not that the woods are off limits for people with metaphysical interest. But it's not that God is, you know, God's hidden himself in the woods and he can't come out. So God is also in Los Angeles. He's also in Santa Monica. He's in all of these places. And he's in everyone's heart. So authentic metaphysical life doesn't mean that I have to go off to the forest. But it means that I have to place myself in constant relationship with God. And the process is this sound. The highest metaphysical reality is present in this transcendental vibration. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So when we interact with people, if we don't chant Hare Krishna, if we don't have this practice of chanting Hare Krishna, then we'll get sucked into so many material modes of interaction, passion, ignorance, material goodness. But if we chant and practice these principles of devotional service, then even while interacting with the material energy, we won't be affected. Padma Patramivampasa. The example given in Bhagavad Gita is the lotus leaf, which is in the water, but is not getting wet. The lotus has some sort of a film, so that even while it's in the water, you get in the water and you get all soaked and waterlogged, but the lotus sits there day and night, and it's just on top of the water. It's untouched. Sagunan samiti chaitan brahmabhuyaya kopate. If one is always engaged in Krishna consciousness, then the forest is for the weak persons. If they come out of the forest, they're finished. But the more powerful form of metaphysical practice is Krishna consciousness, by which one can stay even in the middle of the city and remain above the modes of material nature. So that requires serious tivrena, serious devotional service. Otherwise, you know, just that I put on a dhoti and some tilak, but then all my interactions are tainted by mundane motives or mundane ways of acting. That's not so good. But if I'm very serious about chanting, about hearing, about fixing my mind on Krishna consciousness, about purifying my heart, then even in my interactions with other living beings, other people, other animals, anything, I'll see, this person is part and parcel of Krishna. This thing is part and parcel of Krishna. I'm also part and parcel of Krishna. So this is the business. The essence of all the rules and regulations is always to remember Krishna and never to forget Krishna. When we do that, then we'll not be affected by the material energy. Is that okay? Something else? Okay, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Samaveta Bhakta Vrindaki Jai.
Thank you very much. Couldn't boost the institution too much. Arrivo.
Encontré un micrófono.
Oh, sí. Sí. Oh, muchas gracias. Estaba pensando sobre esto.
No sé, primero la idea que tal vez era suya.